astrology and earth changes and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored.
Happy New Week, folks. This is Maggie Rose, and this is The Conquered Show, being brought to you proudly here, Revolution Radio, at freedomslips.com. I hope you all had a wonderful weekend. I know that we had a really busy weekend here on the West Coast, and there's an awful lot that's going to be going on in the weeks ahead, so I want you all to stay tuned for that. As you all know, I'm going to be flying back to New York later on this summer, and then traveling with my friend back from upstate New York through the down of the middle of the United States again. And this trip is not going to be a whirlwind 5 days. It's going to be a little bit longer than that. One of the places we're going to be stopping off for sure is going to be Colorado to visit her son, John. So I will be doing the show from the road. And folks, I'm really looking forward to being able to reach out to so many of you across the United States that I've not yet met. And so I will try to give you guys all an update of where we will be at least the day before. So for those of you that are in somewhere that area, you can come out and you can meet with us. I'm really wanting to meet with the people across this country over the next few years because I have some plans in store, and I'm not really sure exactly where God's going to take me or what I'm going to be doing. But with the help and the support of my loving family and my spouse, I'm really hoping that we can open up more of your thoughts and your ideas. For those of you that have not been able to come on radio and express yourself, we're going to try to give you more of that opportunity to do that. Now, folks, Revolution Radio is purely listener supported. It was founded in 2011 by Mike Ringley, who's also affectionately known as Nighthawk, who made his transition. It'll be a year in September, and his very faithful volunteer management team and other broadcasters have made sure that his vision and his dream continues. And being that we're purely listener supported, we count on your generous donations and your loving support to keep us on air. It's through that that is able to make it possible for so many of us that are of limited income to be able to have the airtime. Many of us other than that, we would not be able to afford the airtime. So again, we appreciate your loving donations and your support of this station and making us as one of the main alternative radio stations out there. And as you know, Revolution Radio is on the internet. And so we are heard internationally. We have many of our broadcasters are overseas, as well as in the United Kingdom and Australia and other places abroad. And so this way we all can reach out to each other. And we are the Revolution Radio family. So one of the things that is really touching close to my home and heart is the importance of liberty in this nation. And as you know, my opening song that was given to me back in the 1990s by Carl Klang, when I first started doing radio with Republic Radio International, that was based out of Battle Creek, Michigan, with Mark Kornke, who now has Liberty Tree Radio. And Carl Klang has written so many beautiful songs. You can find all these patriotic songs on YouTube. And that is where I ended up having this song that kind of became my theme song, you know, Taking America Back. We want to take America back nonviolently. But one of the things that we're discovering is happening here is that when we try to speak out nonviolently, non-physically, but with a passion and a heart that is truth to power, we get attacked by the New World Order, by the deep state, by the left wing, what we call left media. They do their spin. And there's an article that came out not long ago, the New York Times, where they took something that Ammon Bundy did say, and then they quoted it in just the first paragraph. And then they wrote a whole thing as if he had said all that. But they were very careful not to put quotes around it because they made up the story as they went. And the same thing happened to this lady we're bringing on now as a guest. Her name is Sarah Brady. You've probably heard about her. She's gone internationally. I have friends overseas that have emailed me that they heard about her story and they wanted to know, could I bring her up? And God puts us in a place where he wants us to be at a particular moment in time. I was kind of debating whether or not I was going to be able to go to the Idaho Liberate America rally or not. And at that time, my dad was very ill. And I remember saying to his doctor, I said, you know, I don't know what to do because I have said that I was going to go as a guest speaker to Idaho. And I'm probably going to end up having to cancel that and not go. Dad passed away a week before the rally. His time... God was waiting for him. I remember being at his bedside, and even though he was semi-conscious, he was reaching out for somebody or something at the end of his bed. And I knew that we were not alone in the room. I could feel we were not alone in the room. And so when my husband took me to Idaho with one of my sons, I was still grieving. You know, it had only been a few days. But I knew that I had to speak truth to power. And one of those things that really bothered me was how they are violating our voting process with these mail-in ballots, and they're even changing our party affiliation from Republican or conservative to Democrat or to non-affiliated so we can't vote in the primary. The other thing is everything being made in America. But there's some other things that really bother me too. That is the forced vaccination of our children, where our teenagers end up having 78 vaccinations in some cases before they graduate high school. But another is the fact that parents cannot choose how to protect themselves or to be safe with their children without the government interfering. And then they come back and say that we're protesting when we're not protesting. Well, the lady that I'm going to introduce you to now was at a park in Meridian, Idaho, and she was on a play date. She was not there protesting anything. She's going to explain her story. They wrote an article about her, the United Kingdom, which is in England, I presume, newspaper article called The Sun, saying that she's an anti-vaxxer. Now, folks, they know there's a lot of people out there that are emotionally have knee-jerk reactions when they hear that people are completely against all vaccines. That immediately, when you read the article, sets you up with prejudice against this mother. She is not an anti-vaxxer any more than I am an anti-vaxxer, and I'm a licensed nurse. But I'm a very conservative person when it comes to vaccines and how many and when they're given and how often they're given, how many are given in one day. So this article put out by The Sun was completely a falsehood in order to get a knee-jerk reaction out of those of us that would read the article. Now, I also saw that just came up on Facebook, Misty Wells. Misty Wells is one of the heads of a 3% group in Oregon, where Facebook said it goes against their policies to be able to have the Lord's Prayer put up anywhere on Facebook on your social media page, it goes against their policy. Well, I'm encouraging all of you who are hearing this right now, you take the Lord's Prayer and you copy and paste it and you put it on your Facebook, because that is wrong. I cannot understand why that would be against their policy. Again, it is more like Nazism. It is more like fascism. When they're trying to tell us we can't speak the truth to power, or what resonates with us, we can't express ourselves on a social medium. Either they are a controlled, for-profit, private business, or they are public form. They are needing to stop lying to Congress and the Senate in Washington, D.C., and they need to be honest about who they are. So there's probably so many other things that we could talk about, but the main thing I want to talk about today is how a mother goes to a playground with her children for a play date. And because she sees something going on that is wrong, and she questions somebody about it, just the act of asking a question and asking for clarification, she gets herself arrested. So folks, please do not switch off of Studio A this morning. I want you really to hear this woman's story. Today's date, folks, is June the 22nd. At the end of this 2 hours, this show will be recorded and will be put up in the archives, and only by your generous donation, even minimal $5 a month, will get you into the archives, and you can listen to the show again and again. You can share it with your family and friends, and that is what helps keep us on the air. So, folks, again, this is The Conquered Show. You're listening to Maggie Rose. This is Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. You can also listen to the show by going to TalkStream Live. Tell your family members they can do that. And if they go to www.freedomslips.com, you will see there's a phone number on Studio A where family or friends can listen to Revolution Radio to either one of the studios by dialing that number with their landline or their cell phone. So with no more to do, I would like to welcome Sarah Brady from Idaho. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Maggie. How are you?
Fine. You know, it was such an honor to meet you in Idaho the other day at that Liberate rally that was held in Coeur d'Alene. You and your mother were in the crowd, and many people were not even aware you were there until somebody spoke out and said something. And we actually managed to get you on the stage, even though you were not part of the original lineup. You were not expecting, Rachel and myself to kind of push you along and nudge you to be up there on the stage. But as a result of it, many people who were there who had not heard your story finally were awoken as to what had actually happened to that mom they heard about that was arrested outside Boise. Can you kind of give everybody a little bit of a background? You're married. You have, what, 3 or 4 children, right?
Right. 4 children.
4 children. And you have been living in Idaho for how long?
My whole life.
Your entire life.
Yep.
40 years. So you have been living in Idaho, in a place that a lot of people now from California and Oregon are actually moving there. But many of the people in California are moving to Idaho because they say they want to get away from the politics and the corruption in California. But I'm hearing stories that some of them, once they get there, they want to change the politics that they were trying to get away from. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No, I mean, yes, I meet both types of people. I actually, speaking earlier to being accused of being anti-vaxxer, I just want to address that really quick. I'm actually a pro-vaccine safety advocate. That means I'm for vaccines that are safe. So I'm in the political work that I do. Actually, I work with parents and helping them be able to claim exemptions at public schools, because on the list of vaccines that are required for school, even if you just don't want to do one, you have to claim an exemption. So I meet up with a lot of parents from California that are unfamiliar with the procedure to be able to do that. And, you know, I've met, in my line of work, honestly, I've met most people who are very, very conservative, but there are a few that want to come here and they want to vote basically in the same people that would have those kind of policies in California. So there's definitely a fight to be able to push back towards some of those people that are infiltrating Idaho to do that.
Now, have anybody pulled them aside and said, look, if you left California to get away from the politics and the corruption that's so distorted there, why are you trying to come here to Idaho and fix something that isn't broke?
Sure. You see people all the time making comments on Facebook, and you know, a lot of people are angry about the influx of people because if we want Idaho to stay the same. But I, you know, in some ways, Idaho is, and I won't even say some ways, Idaho is a refuge, a freedom refuge from a lot of these states that are going, you know, they're going south, right? I mean, they're not protecting liberties, and they become very liberal, high tax states. And so I don't fault anyone for coming to Idaho if you want to come and keep Idaho free. So, you know, that's another thing is it's kind of a, you know, there's two sides to that sword, right? We want people to come and help us protect our freedoms. But we're going to also get that influx of people who don't want to protect those freedoms and maybe don't really understand true liberty.
Oh, I totally agree with you. A lot of people I met at the rally, turned out, in fact, my husband actually ran into one of them first. He was actually at the Sugar Pine Mine when I was a volunteer. I was a nurse there, providing a medical backup and also cooking many of the meals at the Sugar Pine Mine. And he came over and said, guess what? Remember, what's his name at the Sugar Pine Mine? And I said, oh, yeah. He said, well, he's here. He packed up his wife and his kids, and he left Oregon, and he moved to Idaho. And he's one of the three percenters there. So many of my friends that that I grew up with in California and Oregon are now living in Idaho. And it's like they're like you said, this is supposed to be a refuge from the insanity of the states of California and Oregon and Washington. And in fact, I understand that there are two more families after the result of that rally that you and I were at the other day. They are now packing up. They are putting their house on the market, and they're going to Idaho as well. Mm. So, but the problem is what's happening, the people in Idaho that have lived there and own property, they see this influx of people coming in. They're thinking, oh, they're coming from Washington State. They're coming from California. We can just, you know, ask more for our house and push up the price, which is then pushing the market way out of reach from those people that were born and raised in Idaho. We saw the same thing happen in Oregon too, I understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hard. You know, one way that's affected me is housing prices, right? And so there's definitely more competition, right? And you know, again, it's that double-edged sword. So, you know, my house is going to go, it's risen in price probably, 10% in the last year that I bought it, which is great. But if I want to stay in the same area and purchase another house, I'm looking at another overpriced house. And I don't think Idaho's economy could sustain that kind of balloon. So that's, you know, that's been one thing that's been, yeah, it's very interesting, all the dynamics with politics and how it's affected. Oh, our roads are horrid. Our roads are horrid. Getting someplace takes twice as long now, at least. So
explain what you mean by that.
Getting someplace. Like, we have so many more people on the roads because of the influx from people moving here. What used to take me, you know, 10 minutes to get somewhere is 20, maybe 30 days or sorry, 30 minutes during like lunchtime traffic. Like, it's doubled or tripled in time it takes to travel somewhere around the city.
So you've noticed a difference then.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Now,
and that's frustrated a lot of Idahoans too.
Yeah, that would kind of upset them too, because they're used to being able to get from point A to point B without, you know, bumper to bumper traffic. And when commute traffic gets really bad, either just before the morning starts or during lunchtime, when you're trying to get somewhere, even to a doctor appointment, either before or during the lunch hour, that would make it very difficult. Definitely. I can understand why it would be frustrating. Now, being that you grew up in Idaho, and there's a reputation Idaho has for being a very independent state where people have the freedom to express themselves, what is it that you found happened prior to you going to the playground that bothered you about the whole COVID thing and what was going on with your governor. I understand your governor has come under a lot of heat because the governor appears to be very progressive. And progressive doesn't mean improving. I need to state to people that they understand progressive does not mean improving. That's what the liberals would have you think when they banter around the word progressive. Progressive is more like a march towards socialism and communism. And it seems that your governor is very liberal, just like the governors of Oregon and California.
Oh, yeah, that's been something that's been very surprising. I can't compare his order to any other state, it's probably very similar, though, right? Essential workers, some people had the go-ahead that they could actually provide for their families. Some people couldn't. I mean, it was just all this ridiculousness, and it was arbitrary, right? A lot of the things were arbitrary about what was closed down. So bars were closed down, but the liquor store, the state liquor store, could stay open. So, yeah, I mean, just the frustration of seeing, and, you know, my husband is a police officer. He's considered an essential worker. I hate that term. So he was allowed, right? He was allowed to exercise his liberties to be able to provide for his family. And I say that very sarcastically, very sarcastically. So, you know, I had friends, many friends who, you know, were just chomping at the bit to be able to go back to work, worried about providing for their family, losing their businesses. I mean, just very stressful times. So, there's a lot of frustration amongst a lot of people. Then, of course, you've got the other side that's like, well, just sit down and we're just going to wait. We're going to put on our masks and we're going to do what we're told. So that was kind of like what I was seeing. And, you know, of course, my circle of friends is very conservative. So most people were very upset and angry by what the governor was and is doing.
Now, what about the mayor of the town where you had your play date? Have you gotten any support from the mayor? Before we go into your story, can you share with us if there's been any support from this mayor at all?
In regards to what happened with me at the playground?
Yes.
I'm not aware of any support that's been given. So essentially, you know, the mayor did an order, and this is just a side thing. There was an ordinance that was changed in our the Meridian City ordinances. And basically what it was is if you violated the stay at home order, and I'm sorry, I wish I had it in front of me. I didn't think to pull it up in front of me, but it was a misdemeanor, right? To violate any of the health orders, it was a misdemeanor. But not only was it a misdemeanor, they had authority outside 5 miles outside Meridian City limits. So they were obviously trying to exercise authority outside of their, you know, their fence, right? Every authority has a fence, right? The mayor of Meridian can't go into the mayor of Boise's area, but this ordinance actually broke those things and they could enforce it 5 miles outside of it. To my knowledge, they haven't, but just the fact that they're already sitting in place, this ability to be able to go past boundaries is very frightening to me.
Yeah, that is very frightening to me too. Are they trying to say this is being supportive of another police department? That's what I don't understand. Why would they have to have them go outside their boundaries of what their jurisdiction is? They're supposed to stay within their jurisdiction, the way I understood.
Well, right. They are supposed to. So why would you want to mesh boundaries with another agency?
Well, did you ask your husband about this? Your husband happens to be working in the area of law enforcement. Have you asked him about that?
Oh, he says it's very concerning. You can't be blending agencies and powers like that.
So I wonder if he would feel safe to go to his supervisor and say, I just have a question. I'm kind of curious about something. Is he too new to what he's doing in that particular area of law enforcement? He'd be afraid to say anything?
You know, so he's actually a supervisor. So he's spoken about the concerns that the mayor has done, right? So he's not in the same, he doesn't work in the same city that we live in. But for example, the mayor of that city has said, you can't handshake. You can't, that was like against, that was part of that mayor's order. No handshaking. I mean, can you imagine that you're not allowed, like it goes against their order that you, I mean, what kind of enforcement is going to be that? Is that a misdemeanor? We're going to throw people in jail for, you know, shaking hands. It's just been very crazy. All that's been going on.
I agree. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story and what happened and why you were where you were, and just what you can remember of all the incidents. Give us a timeline of what happened, who was there, what you said, what you saw, what was said to you, so people have some understanding of this injustice that was done to you that day.
Yeah. So April 21st, this was a Tuesday. And maybe I should back up a little bit. About a week prior to April 21st, I had seen on Facebook, it was an invitation to go to a play date. And it was a picture of a child running in grass with bubbles. And in the group that it was shared in, there were some people within this group that were they were wanting to be defiant of the governor's orders. And so I had contacted a friend who had asked the organizers, is this a real play date or is there something else to it? And the message that came back to me was, no, this is just a play date. We just want to get together and let our kids play in the grass. Now, in some parts of the United States, parks were closed, but our parks were open. It's some of the playgrounds in Idaho. Some of the playgrounds in Idaho were shut down. Okay. Not all of them, just some of them. So it was very arbitrary about who did what shut down, what was shut down, what you were allowed to do. And so I actually wasn't planning on going to this play date because we've been getting ready to put our house on the market. And so that day I was just really busy. I'd been painting my front door and, the play date was at 3:00 and it's about 3:45. And I sit down on my couch and someone puts this video on Facebook saying, hey, we're at the park. It's such a lovely day. Somebody's torn down the tape and she pans out and there's all these kids playing on this playground. I'm like, oh my gosh, I want to go to the playground too. Right. So I load up 2 of my 4 kids and we go to the park and I sit down and the kids go and play on the playground. And there's just a ton of people there that day. Like, it's a great day. And tons of kids playing the playground, tons of kids in the park. There's people playing at the basketball courts. There's people sitting at the picnic tables. And, there's just people everywhere. So I sit down next to a friend and I start chatting him up. And not probably 5 minutes later, 3 police officers show up. And I'm like, oh, well, that stinks. And so 3 of these officers walk up and there's just this one officer and his face is red, his eyes are red, and he just seems like he's in a bad mood and he's telling people, get off the playground, you guys can't be here. And I'm asking, I walk up, I haven't actually even been on the playground at this point. My children have, I've not even been on the playground at this point. So I walk up and he's, trying to rush people off of it like it's, they're doing some criminal act. And I said, well, I made some comment about it being he's like, it's closed. And I said, well, it's taxpayer paid. And he was just kind of being rude. And he's like, he made some comment, I think, about it. It was closed and people couldn't be there. And so he had walked away and there was 2 other officers there and they all kind of walked into the main part of the playground. And I told my kids to stay on the sidewalk and I wanted to go and see what was going on, what was being said. And so, I'd gone up and one officer was saying, sorry, it's closed. And this was a different officer than the one that seemed like he was in a bad mood. He's saying, sorry, we don't really want to do this. Or I don't remember exactly what he had said, but, so we're just having a conversation like you would have with just citizens with a police officer. Right. And the park guy comes up and he's like, it's closed. And we're like, but why? It's taxpayer paid. And he's like, because of COVID. But we're like, but it, it dies in the sun. It's a virus. And we're basically questioning him why it's closed. And he accuses us of ripping down the tape. And I hadn't touched anything at this point. Like I actually, at any point, did I touch anything? I'm literally, well, I guess I was standing on the wood chips. And he's irritated, telling us to get off. And at some point he makes some comment about, get away. Like he was like, you guys, we made some comment about them not doing social distancing. He's like, well, that's why I'm trying to get away from you. But we're like, well, you don't even have a mask. And, I'm noticing the officers don't have gloves or a mask. Right. So it just seems very like you're coming to kick everybody off of a playground. But so then I start asking them, well, are you going to then enforce the order over here? Because there's, tons of people sitting on the grass, not social distancing. They're in groups of more than 10. People are playing basketball. I mean, you have to touch the basketball that gets passed and forth. I mean, there's definitely more touching going on there. There's, people sharing germs on picnic tables. So I'm basically asking these officers, because I'm getting frustrated at this point, like, Okay, so if you're going to kick everyone off this taxpayer paid area, then are you going to now enforce it over there? Because I was basically questioning how arbitrary it was. And at this point, the one officer who just seemed like he was in just this bad mood when he got to the park, and he just starts counting down to me, you know, I've already given you multiple warnings. I'm counting down from five, you know, and so he starts counting down. At that point, I'm looking at him thinking, wow, really? You're going to now threaten to arrest me while I'm at the park with my kids? Like, that's where this is not serve and protect to me. So I was upset, and I just said, you know, I just thought, well, fine, I'm not going to resist. I give up. So I said, fine, then just arrest me, do it. And I turn around, I make it, you know, easy for him, because I'm not going to, you know, at this point, you've counted down to me. I'm not going to run off the playground. Like, how unprofessional. So anyway, he ends up arresting me, and I ask if I'm being detained, and I'm upset because how am I being arrested? How am I being arrested taking my kids to a park? How did 6 weeks prior, how was it not illegal to take my kids to a park, but now it is illegal when you've got daycares that are open and they can have their playgrounds open, but I have to pay to take my kids there, but I can't do it at a taxpayer, you know, paid park. I couldn't understand in my mind how arbitrary this was. It was so arbitrary. And I couldn't also understand how our law enforcement officers are being put in a position where they have to come and arrest moms at parks. That's not right. So anyway, they ended up taking me to jail. I was booked into jail, even though they'd let 400 people out of jail, inmates at this point. And I posted bond, and that's about all at that point for the playground incident.
Wow.
Kind of long-winded.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, they're letting people out that are convicted criminals for anywhere from misdemeanors all the way to felonies. They're letting them out to protect them from the COVID, they say, spreading right throughout the prison system. But they're right arresting mothers at the parks that are in the sun with their children playing on the playground. It doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense. It's crazy that this is what our law enforcement have come down to been asked to do. And there's something terribly wrong with our political leadership, both at a county, you know, local county and state level, as well as many of those who are seeing, who are watching overseas and saying, is this not insanity or what? What is happening to America when you are allowing people who would they call essential workers to go out there and work without masks? As you said, the law enforcement officers didn't have any mask on. Right. They were not doing any social distancing from themselves or each other. And they're not wearing gloves. And yet they're coming and arresting mothers who are with their children. You've been hosed up, you know, holed up with your children for months. Your children have not been in school. So obviously, being that they haven't been in close proximity with classmates, they're not going to be carrying the virus around with them. And meeting a bunch of children at the playground that have also been cloistered with their family members and haven't been exposed to many people on the outside, there's no way those children on the playground are going to give each other anything.
Well, and even if they are, there are very low likelihood that anything's going to happen to them. So why are we shutting down things for something that's similar to a flu? Why are we shutting down whole... We're shutting down businesses. We're shutting down playgrounds. You know what I mean? Like, why, if it's a flu, if you are susceptible to this, then I would suggest staying in and protecting yourself. But the rest of the world doesn't need to shut in because of that. Do you know? And so, you know, another thing too, my husband being an essential worker, there's probably a higher likelihood my children will get COVID with him working with the public than it is for them to go to a playground where their son, the virus dies. So, and kids need fresh air and sunshine to keep their immune system up. It's important for them.
Right, right. Somebody just said in here, fact or theory, here on the Revolution Radio chat room, he said, there's no law stopping any of us from going to the park. And Hummingbird said, so why are you paying taxes on your home, guest, if it's not used for what you want? Factor theory agreed, and then Hummingbird said, if you went to jail, your cop husband is pissed, but other workers he works with make fun of him. You know, I think your husband would be very proud of you.
My husband is very proud of me. And he also, there's there are a lot of officers out there that also would not have arrested a mom in a park. So I don't want to say all officers would be making fun of him. There are some that are irritated with me standing up to authority because in their mind, I should have just sat down and complied. But, you know, should Rosa Parks should have said, you know, should she have gotten off that bus?
Oh, you're fading out. Oh. Say what you just said again. Repeat what you just said.
My husband's very proud of me for standing up because and there's a lot of officers that also agree that officers should not be arresting moms at playgrounds. That is just not, that's not what officers are for. Serve and protect is not arresting moms at playgrounds. And, you know, it kind of surprises me how people are like, well, you should have just complied. You should just obey. And my question back then is, well, then should Rosa Parks then just obeyed and gotten off that seat? Shouldn't she have done something else instead of disobeying authority? And there comes a point when you say no. And that officer, that, you know, I don't know. People say, well, the excuse is, well, he's just doing his job. I don't think that's a good excuse in this situation. That's not a good excuse to just be doing your job. You need to be able to think independently of what's going on. And if a mayor comes out with an order that violates your oath to the Constitution, you better stand up and pay attention to that because your oath is to the Constitution, not to an ordinance or to a mayor's order. Let's be clear on that.
I totally agree. You know, people, you were probably not remembering much of what happened. Maybe in your history books, they didn't spell that out for you. You're just a little bit younger than I am. But I remember during the situation in Vietnam, during the massacre at My Lai, and some of the people there said, well, we were just doing what we were told to do. You know, we were just following orders. And the thing is, I learned in the military, and I was in the Army for 35 years, I learned that if you are given an order that is going to bring deliberate harm or injury to an innocent or to someone that you have not identified as being the enemy, you are duty-bound and obligated to question that order, no matter what it's going to cost you. It could cost you your career. It could cost you a reduction in rank. Somebody could turn around and try to set you up and say you were being insubordinate. But if you're being asked to bring harm to another individual, an innocent, and you go ahead and you do it saying, well, it was given to me as an order, you are duty obligated to be able to disobey an unlawful order. And I don't care if it's military or if it's civilian or if it's law enforcement with one of our local police officers. If they see something going on, they should not say, well, you know what? My buddy is a police officer like I am. And we have this unspoken understanding of the thin blue line. And we're just going to look the other way while my law enforcement officer buddy here is doing something illegal. I don't think so. This is when we saw what happened, Sarah, with George Floyd, and that law enforcement officer sat on his neck. That law enforcement officer had his hands in his pocket, and he had the full weight of his body going into his knee and his leg while he was on Floyd's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And there were three or four other law enforcement officers that stood there and did nothing. Now they can say, well, he was our supervisor, or we were in training, or we were just following whatever he was doing. No, there's no excuse. If you see that someone cannot breathe and he's gasping for breath and all the witnesses around are seeing that this guy is losing his life, those other officers were duty bound and obligated to, if they had to, physically pull him off of George's neck. And not one of them lifted a finger to do anything. In fact, two of them literally turned their backs to what that officer was doing and faced the crowd and did not move from their position. So no, a police officer is duty bound. When he sees something going on, he needs to say, wait a minute, let's stop and let's look at this for a moment here. It doesn't look to me like they tried to de-escalate anything on that playground. It looks like somebody had a hair up his ass that day. Maybe he had a fight with his wife. Maybe he didn't get promoted ahead of somebody else, and he took it out on you. That's how I see it.
Yeah, you know, It's really interesting. I have to wonder though what happened previous to him coming, right? I heard rumors that it wasn't rumors. Meridian Police Department posted later that they had gotten multiple phone calls. A snitch had called in to tattle on these moms that had gone to the park to play the playground. I mean the whatever. So they had gotten multiple calls. So I don't know. It's hard to say what actually happened. Did his supervisor say you need to go and take care of this? Was it the mayor? Was someone putting pressure on him? You know, was he having an off day? Did something irritate him prior? I don't know. But that's not an excuse though for making, you know, doing that. And maybe he just had never had a mom stand up to him. Maybe everybody he'd ever come in contact with, they had complied with his demands. I don't know, right? I don't know his history, but I would, you know, I'd hope, and I honestly, you know, if he is the type who's like, you know, I feel bad about how I acted that day. I mean, I'm just not someone to hold something against you, right? I mean, like, forgive and forget. So, but it is sad though, his actions basically had to put a stain on police officers in general, because I can tell you the other two officers that were there, I don't think that they would have arrested me. My understanding there though, they were his subordinates. And so maybe they felt like they were put in a position where they had to do what he wanted them to do. Again, not what I would have done, but I'm also some that will go against the crowd if what they're doing is wrong. Despite the outcome for me. So, and I will say I've had a lot of people have just socially shunned me, because, and this is in my the circle of police officers, the wives, some of them, not all of them, but some of them have shunned me, and it's pretty sad that they can't recognize that it's important for us, even as police officers' wives, to stand up, that it's important to call people out when they're doing something that's wrong. I don't want to be at a playground and be threatened by a police officer, and I don't want my husband to be put in a position where he feels like he has to do that. So we shouldn't necessarily be mad. I mean, I don't think they should be mad at me. They should be mad at the mayor and the governor or whoever put that officer in that position to be able to put that pressure on moms at parks. Do you know what I mean? If you're going to be mad at anyone, be mad at the officer for making a bad choice, and be mad at the people that are putting him in a position to have to do that.
Right. And, you know, but I am ashamed of those officers' wives who are actually turning their back and shunning you. I mean, it's, you know, I saw this happen in the military too. I saw this happen where maybe somebody in the military's husband was involved in something that he was told and ordered to do by his superior. And for whatever reason, whatever the superior told him to do in the duty of their mission, and it went south, then things happened that was out of everybody's control. But then all of a sudden, the person who gave the order, he goes on like nothing happened. But the person that he ordered to do it ends up taking the heat and becoming the fall guy, and his wife and family members end up being shunned. And that's wrong. So shame on all those officers' wives out there that are turning their backs on a sister who was at a playground, at a play date, who did not have anything to do with tearing down the tape. There's evidence that she had nothing to do with tearing down the tape. And she was there because there was many, many other people there as well. And you just happened to be the one courageous to say, can I ask you why you're doing this? Why clarify how it is that those people over there could be playing on the grass and on the lawn, but you're saying the kids on the tan bark cannot be playing. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense to me, Sarah, why it's okay for people to be walking or playing in the park or sitting on the grass together in groups of two or three, and yet you can't have groups of two or three on the playground, playground gym, or on the tan bark. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree. A lot of this hasn't made sense, has it?
No, because I mean, are you going to get the virus? Are you more likely to get a virus if your kid is swinging across the jungle bar versus the kid is sitting on a blanket with three other kids on the grassy lawn? How are you going to get a virus? How are you more likely to get a virus if you're sitting in close, you know, swinging around on the bar and standing next to another kid or pushing another kid's swing versus sitting next to that same kid on the grassy lawn or walking along.
We're talking about a hot day with that plastic. That virus is frying off that plastic. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's more likely on the blanket or the picnic table, right? The picnic table where they're eating their cheese sticks and they're setting their food down. And it's not, you know what I mean? Like that picnic table is probably dirtier because you've got people eating and setting their food items down, right? Touching, eating, right. Putting their hands to their mouth. So no, I think the playground was safer than the picnic table. So
well, hopefully your lawyer is going to be able to bring that up as part of the defense.
I hope so. I'm still looking for a lawyer, so we'll see what we can find with that.
Well, yeah, what we need to do is we need to get somebody, because they like to go on science, right? So let's go ahead and get somebody who is the forensic science or somebody who has a background with biology and have them testify as one of your witnesses as to how germs are spread or cannot be spread. And especially on a hot day, that they even admitted that the virus gets killed by sunlight and by warmth.
Right.
And they made it very clear that during the spring and summer, you're going to find the incidence of the virus being much lower in warmer areas of the country, where in colder areas of the country, like it's doing now, it can end up spiking. And then when winter comes and we have less sun, we're going to see another spike again. So the thing is they've even admitted themselves that with warmth and heat, there's less incidence of any chance of catching the virus.
Right.
So now, yes. Can you give us your website? You say that there's a GoFundMe that a friend of yours set up for you, right?
There is a GoFundMe. Free Sarah Brady is the GoFundMe. That's Sarah without an H. So S-A-R-A, Free Sarah Brady.
Okay.
And then there's also a website where you can get updates, and that's supportsarahbrady.com.
Okay, so I'm putting this in the chat room here. Supportsarahbrady.com, right?
Yes.
Okay, and that's going to help pay for your legal cost. And right now you're looking for a lawyer that's willing to step forward. Have you thought about going to the civil rights any of the civil rights law firms that deal with this?
Yeah. So, well, there is one lawyer that I contacted who works for, I think it's the ACLU, or maybe he used to be on the board. He sounds like a very competent lawyer. So that's someone who is in consideration. I'm really honestly just trying to explore all my options because I know that this is going to be a big political thing. The state of Idaho attorney general actually is the designee for him or his designee is who's going to be prosecuting the case.
Wow. So he's turning this into, let's set her up as an example.
I mean, that's what it seems to be, because why haven't they dismissed it, Maggie Rose? Why hasn't it been dismissed?
Now you're going for the arraignment on 9 July.
Yes. So 9th of July is the arraignment. I believe it's at 1:30 PM. I don't know if it's going to be in the courtroom or online yet, you know, because of COVID, everything's kind of messed up. So I'm guessing it's going to be online.
Okay. So you think it's going to be online, but if it wasn't, where would it be held? What courthouse?
So it's going to be at the Ada County Courthouse in downtown Boise.
Okay. Now I'm very familiar with the Ada County Courthouse. We know of a gentleman who was involved with the Sugar Pine Mine, and he was helping with some of the other so-called volunteer leadership, their misappropriate funds that were supposed to be going for the volunteers while they were there during that 9-week mission. He also ended up being basically stealing from those people that were homeowners that hired him to be a property manager to collect the rents of their properties and send to them. And he's now sitting in jail. And I think he was tried at the Ada County Courthouse. Richard Brandon Curtis is right now doing time in courtesy of the state prison system. So a lot of people are very familiar. They have heard about that courthouse. But you suspect that because of the whole COVID thing, they won't be doing it at the Ada County Courthouse in Idaho, that they will be actually doing it online.
Yes, that's my understanding at this point. Unless something changes here soon, so far it seems like everything's going to be online at this point.
Yeah, we have some people in the chat room. Dust Stardust Man said, "Maggie, I love the passion of your guest." And Grog said, "Apparently, writing works and protesting does not." Let me see. Someone's trying to call through on the phone right now. I don't know who this is. Hold on. Hold on just a second. Can I call you right back? I'm doing radio. Okay. So anyway, sorry about that, folks. That was, believe it or not, that was the chapel calling. They probably have my dad ready to pick up. So, oh my goodness, what a day, huh? So what I'm understanding here is that, as Grog just wrote in the chat room, apparently rioting works and protesting does not. Riot, they kneel. Protest, they crack down. Let me read that again. Grog said, apparently rioting works. Protesting does not. Riot, they kneel. Protest, they crack down. I say we Mussolini them all. Lots of laughs. So Hummingbird said, my friend is a biologist, but her husband would probably not be a good person. Because of his background. Grog said, hearing Sarah's story, I smelled an example case ahead to shut the rest of us up. So he also believes that if they can come after you and make an example out of you, it'll make everybody else afraid to challenge illegal orders and illegal authority.
Right, right. Well, you cannot have moms. You just cannot have moms giving an example to the children of saying, no, this is unfair and this isn't okay. Because if moms are teaching their children that, you know that's going to create an education for the children they won't forget.
Exactly.
So, exactly. And you know, that's interesting. Bringing up the point of children, I also had a lot of people criticize me. And they're like, well, you can protest, but you can't bring your kids into it. And I was like, first off, it's a play date. So I bring my kids to play dates. Second off, if an officer shows up to my play date and is going to start telling people we can't be at a play date or playing on equipment, that is the perfect time for my children to see me in action. That's exactly what I want to teach my children. We have a republic that we have to defend. It's what Benjamin Franklin said, a republic if you can keep it. And I'm going to keep the republic. So if anything, I'm going to involve my children in my activism to keep our republic, because I'm doing it for them and their children and their children's children, because freedom is the most important thing that we can pass on to our children.
Oh, I totally agree. You know, I can really relate. The reason I didn't mean to be laughing, but I was laughing out of support of what you just said. I am one of those that's descended from Vachel Hinton, who was a private in the Virginia militia during the Revolutionary War. Now, we all know the Revolutionary War was about our country standing up against the tyranny and the dictatorship and the power play of the British coming over trying to tell us what to do. And many years ago in our county, we had a county commissioner that just happened to be a Democrat, okay? And he wasn't what you would call a John F. Kennedy Democrat. I like the John F. Kennedy Democrats. I don't care for the far, far left liberal Democrats that believe that the rules are for everybody except for them and who try to cram their policies down our throat and say, here, eat it, you're going to like it. This was a Democrat that was very illegitimate. He had sexually done some inappropriate things. He had a foul mouth. I mean, I'm talking about a gutter mouth like you wouldn't believe. And he was pulling a lot of crap. And I, at one point during a county commissioner's meeting, I was there actually helping someone run a campaign who was running against this guy. He was the incumbent. He was trying to run again for county commissioner. And he basically attacked me in the county commissioner's meeting during the 3 minute, when you have 3 minutes as a public to speak out. And I let loose on him. And of course, the media twisted it that it came out, you know, differently than it did. And one of the veterans organizations that I was a member of decided not to slam him for violating the national bylaws, because it's a good old boys club, right? But they decided to come after me because I reacted to his abuse. So their attitude is, he violated the bylaws of the national bylaws, but because I reacted to what he said and did to me, I should be the one should be set up as the example. And I remember his wife was very close friends with the Daughters of the American Revolution chapter in our area. And I had already got my application filled out. We had spent a year on it. The money had already been given to send the application to the Daughters of American Revolution forward. And they came to me and said, we've decided to vote that we're not going to let you in our particular chapter of the Daughters of the American Revolution because you're too controversial. Mm-hmm. And I'm here thinking, we, the Daughters of the American Revolution, we have this organization because our grandfathers were controversial, right?
Right.
Because they stood up against tyranny. So you're telling me that you have an organization where you're proud to say that you are the daughter of a great-great-grandfather that was in the revolution who was fighting against tyranny, and that was controversial in those days to stand up against the king. In the colonial, in the colonies, right? But now you're going to tell me because I'm standing up against a verbally, physically abusive county commissioner that I'm too controversial. So I'm sitting here thinking how proud I am of you, Sarah, because you are there setting the example for your children to say, look, this is what happens when you do the right thing, but you should still continue to do the right thing no matter what the cost is.
Right. And right, no matter what the cost is or backlash or anything like that, because at the end of the day, what are we doing all this for anyway?
For our children.
Right. It's for our children. I don't want my children to think that growing, I don't want my children to think that you can't play on a playground. I just, what kind of world are we living in if our children can't go and play on the playground?
Can we do this? Can I just bring, I know you can only be here for an hour. Can we bring you, we're going to go up to a break and I'd like to wrap it up for just 10 more minutes with you before you have to go. Can you hold on for the station break and bring you back for 10 more minutes?
Yes, Maggie Rose.
Okay. We're going to go to station break, folks. This is the Concord Show. You are listening to Sarah Brady, who is the mother who took a courageous stand to question what she and we all consider was an illegal order on a playground in Meridian, Idaho. We'll be right back, folks, at the end of this station break. Don't go away.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain, I know this. Death is inevitable, I know this. But one thing is certain, as free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion, and as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me day!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Hello, King Good. Hello, King Good. Hi, I am Lord King Good. Ah, hello, folks. Karl Marx here. I was just taking some selfies. I look particularly good today. The humidity is just right for my hair. One more. Okay, two more. Ah, wunderbar. Looking good, Karl.
Want to learn more about the Marxist agenda and other important stuff? Listen to The Ultimate Remedy with L.B. Bork, Tuesdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, right here on Revolution Radio.
Hello, all you good-looking people out there in Revolution Radio. This is Mario. I invite you to join me Thursdays at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other. It's a show about you, it's a show about me, but ultimately it's a show where we try to have a little bit of fun. We discuss important topics, and we do our best to be apolitical. So I invite you, put on your favorite pair of comfy sweats, your smoking jacket, and grab a beverage of your choice, and join me Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock for This, That, and the Other on Revolution Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We now return to the Concourse Show with your host, Maggie Rose, only at Revolution Radio.
Welcome back, folks. Welcome back. I am your host, Maggie Rose. This is the Concord Show, being brought to you here at Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, also at www.talkstreamlive. And today's date is June 22nd, 2020. We are going into the second hour, and we've got our guest, a very special guest here, VIP Sarah Brady. I feel very honored and privileged that God happened to put me in the right place when my husband took me to Idaho for the Liberate America rally that was sponsored by Redoubt News and so many other organizations there. There's a group of moms that were there that are about responsible medical, responsible vaccinating of their children. We had the Northern Idaho Militia was there in all their glory. Wonderful people. A couple of them I already knew. Some of them I met for the first time. A wonderful group of men and women. Also, they were the real 3%ers of Idaho. The newly reformed and improved 3%ers of Idaho. And many people have left California that I know and left Oregon and have actually moved to Idaho and joined the 3%ers there. These are people that are about educating the public. You know, when people throw out the word militia, they make it sound like it's a dirty word. And actually, the militia is just something that was very similar to what we had 200-300 years ago. The militia is a group of educating people, teaching people how to prep for any and all disasters, either natural disasters or man-made. They're about educating, inspiring people, motivating people, keeping them up on their training, including CPR and medical and first aid. I mean, you know, a lot of people in California and Oregon know that, you know, there's earthquakes all the time taking place, and they're preparing for that, or they should be. Sarah Brady is the mother that was at a play date in Meridian, Idaho, and she was arrested because of the fact she was there with so many other moms and kids, but she was singled out because she was the one that was asking the hard questions. She was brave enough to vocalize and say, why can we not be out here in the sun? you know? So I want to welcome Sarah, you back to the Revolution Radio to at least the next 10 minutes of the second hour. I know you have to go. You've got a babysitter watching your four kids. Your husband works the night shift and he's probably sleeping right now. So I'm very grateful you've taken this time with us. Can you explain to people a little bit more what you think is going to happen in the days ahead and what kind of support are you getting out there?
Yeah. So, in the days ahead, so what's currently happening is the state of Idaho is, the attorney general has been assigned my case or his designee. My arraignment's on July 9th at 1:30 PM. I'm currently still looking for a lawyer to represent me. And I'm just trying to figure out who to use. I want someone who loves the Constitution and wants to try to stand up for that. That's kind of my goal. And not, a lot of the lawyers that I've met with, they're just not constitutional lawyers. So that's kind of what I've actually got a phone call later today with a lawyer who's a constitutional lawyer. And I'm just trying to find someone who, you know, loves liberty and wants to do the right thing and wants to stand up for our freedoms. And I don't expect the case to be dismissed. That's what I've been told by many people, that it's a political case, and they're probably going to try to make me an example of what not to do. I face up to 6 months in jail and a $1,000 fine for simply taking my kids to a playground and asking questions of an officer about how arbitrary and capricious the enforcement was. So, and I'm sorry, what was the second question, Maggie?
Let's see. The second question was, what other kind of support are you getting in your local area?
Oh, so, well, there's been a ton of people who locally and actually not even locally have come out and supported me on my GoFundMe, sent me messages of appreciation. I've been sent letters. I've been sent gifts. I mean, you know, honestly, it's very humbling that people were so touched by me just simply saying, no, I want my kids to play at the playground. And why are you enforcing this, but not other things, and standing my ground? Because I just, you know, in that moment, imagine standing there on what should be a safe place, right? It's a playground. I'm not standing in the middle of traffic. I'm not threatening anyone's property. I'm literally just standing there with my children, you know, behind me on the grass asking. And I was frustrated. I will admit that I was frustrated, but you know, also that officer is supposed to be trained in de-escalation techniques and really shouldn't be walking around treating moms like that at playgrounds. That's not the way you should be treating a citizen who's questioning, especially the way questioning the order that was given, right? And how arbitrary it was. So, you know, I've had a lot of support. You know, there's also been people who didn't agree with what I did, and that's okay too. But they have a right to their opinion, and I have a right to my opinion as well. So we really need to be, you know, these are tough times, and it's just going to get harder. You know, and when freedom's lost, it's lost forever, and it's not without essentially a revolution for us to regain it. So I'm going to fight where I see we're losing it. I felt like at a playground that day. I don't think officers should have been using their authority to be arresting a mom in a park. I thought it was wrong. I felt like they had better things to do with taxpayer money. And, you know, we really need to take some reflection on about, you know, for people who are criticizing me saying, no, you should have just complied. Okay. So if I should have just complied at a park, when is it okay to not comply? When is it okay to step and say, no, this isn't right? Because I'm telling you, the things that are coming down the pike, the things that are coming, when my governor of Idaho says life is not going back to normal until there's a vaccine, you know that vaccine's not going to be voluntary at some point, maybe in the beginning, but it's not going to be later on. So if you're against maybe, let's say, aborted fetal cells being inserted into your body, which I am, and I'm against it for my children, what does that mean for somebody? Because I don't want to wait around to stand up for my rights when you're at my door forcing me to do something I don't want to do, when you're forcing me to get tested for things. We are healthy until proven innocent, and I don't have to do anything that has to prove my innocence. Just like we don't have to have our car searched. I don't have to prove to you there's not a dangerous thing inside. You don't get to get inside my car unless you have probable cause to be able to do that. So what I would just want to say to your listeners is you really need to think about When do you stand? When? Because I'll tell you what, they're going to pick us off. You know, they're going to pick us off one by one. We all need to come together and stand together and say, this isn't okay. And I just want to thank you for having me on your show, Maggie Rose. It was really special meeting you, right? It was an act of God that you and I ran into each other that day.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're a beautiful woman and your heart is so loving and warm. And I was just like, you know, for you to actually been there at that point in time and for us to be introduced to each other, to meet your mom, you know, the two of you were walking around behind, you know, back near where the restrooms were, and you each were carrying that little tiny canister with, you know, to help support you financially with your legal cost. And then all of a sudden someone said, this is the Sarah Brady. I'm like, oh my God, I never imagined. I'd heard about you on the news and it never registered to me that, oh yes, that's right. You live in Idaho too, you know, so that I was actually going to run into you. And it was kind of neat that because when I got there, I was not one of the vendors and I had my big, huge, you know, thing that says Revolution Radio. That was, they actually pinned it up to the fence for me, advertising Revolution Radio and their website, where to go. And then the corner said, meet Maggie Rose. And they had an extra tent that was there because they moved everything down to the Northern Idaho tent where, you know, we had a lot of rain that day, didn't we? It was cold, rainy. It was miserable. What, 44 degrees or something like that out? And so They had this extra little tent thing they had there. And so I just brought my chair. And I brought my ice chest and I sat it there and we put one of your containers there. And then we were able to tell people during the guest speakers that if anybody did not see you or your mother circling the crowd, all they had to do was go over to my tent and make their donation. So I'm really hoping that more people are going to be able to go. They're going to see the GoFundMe site and it's GoFundMe Sarah, S-A-R-A Brady, B-R-A-D-Y, right?
Gosh, I don't know what the link is. I know when I search it on GoFundMe, it's Free Sarah Brady. I'd have to look at what the actual link is.
Okay, so it's Free Sarah Brady. And then the other site you have is what?
SarahBrady.com.
Sarah Brady, www.sarahbrady.com.
Yeah, now Sarah Brady. So www.supportsarah, and that's S-A-R-A, so without an H, SarahBrady.com. And there's a PayPal link there too.
Okay. I'm going to put that back in the chat room right now. www.support, S-U-P-P-O-R-T, Sarah, S-A-R-A, Brady, B-R-A-D-Y.com. And then there's also the GoFundMe site as well, which is the GoFundMe, what again? It's a GoFundMe.
Yeah, the GoFundMe, I think if you go on GoFundMe, you can just search Free Sarah Brady. That's free as in like, let me be free, F-R-E-E-S-A-R-A, Brady, B-R-A-D-Y.
Right.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Well, a Stardust Man just said, this woman on Studio A is no dummy. And then we also have, let's see, we had somebody write in. Here's Grog, G-R-O-G, one of our regular listeners, said, isn't that interesting? Walmart is okay to go to. Going to church, though, is out of the question. Parks and playgrounds, mountains and lakes also are dangerous places where COVID will get you there. It is a tricky virus indeed.
Hmm. It really is. It really is. It's a magical virus.
Oh, it's got to be. I mean, where it can actually pick and choose who it's going to go after. It's, you know, it's okay to go to Walmart and be, you know, walking around with people there, but you can't go to church and even have, let's say, families sit in groups of family groups together. You know, one thing that nobody ever thought of, and maybe some of the ministers were too lazy, Sarah, is that if I was told that I cannot open up my church because people would be sitting too close proximity to each other, I would say, you know, rather than having one or two services on Sunday, I'm going to have four services. And I'm going to have groups of families come in and the families that are living together under the same roof that are exposed to each other while they're in isolation every day, They're going to sit in one area, and then we're going to have another family at least 7 feet away, and then another family, and then actually have four services instead of one or two. That way you could still have Sunday service. But how is it that nobody even thought of that?
Hey, right?
You know, the ministers are all about, in many cases, some of this organized religion, cramming as many people in as possible. One of the things that my husband and I, you know, we were both raised he was raised Methodist. I was raised Presbyterian Lutheran with a little bit of free evangelical Southern Baptist and Catholic and LDS Mormon to boot. Long story. But one of the things I don't like is when they pass the hat, and you give a donation. Now that's going to go help pay for the minister and the electricity and the water of the church, you know, keeping the lights on. And then they pass the hat a second time during the service, and that's to go pay for the ministers or the missionaries they have overseas. And then they go pass the hat a third time, and oh, this is going to be for the Sunday school youth group. It gets to the point where it seems to be a lot of people are really resenting going to church because it seems like all they're ever wanting is to keep on having us reach in our pocket and keep on donating money when they're passing the plate three and four times. And a lot of people are feeling that they're not getting the emotional support from the ministers across this nation because the ministers are so busy wanting to keep their 501(c) status to keep the IRS happy that they're willing to sell their own parishioners down the pike in order to keep the government happy. Have you had any ministers in your area at all that have come together to you and said, look at Sarah, we're here for you. What can we do to help?
Not so far. I did meet one at a church service, and he had flown in from New Jersey and he thanked me so much, but you know, he's not really close, I think. So, I mean, not necessarily, but then again, it's not that I've hidden, but I've not really been out a ton. For the first 2 weeks, I tried to be very careful. I was getting a lot of death threats from crazy people like in Australia and other parts of the world I had people telling me that our death rate in the United States was 24%. And I was like, what, you get your news from the National Enquirer or something? Like, where? Are you kidding me? If our death rate was 24%, I wouldn't be leaving the house with my children. Like, it's not 24%. So anyway, you know, for the first few weeks, I kind of just went MIA. So if there was someone that was trying to get a hold of me, they probably couldn't because I was so like shut down. So, but I would love anyone's support. I would take a pastor's support. Doesn't matter who you are. If you want to support me, I'm happy to take it.
Well, you know, that to me is a place where we're supposed to be able to count on our churches to be able, they're supposed to be there for the community. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I've seen too many cases, Sarah. This is why my feelings about organized religion are so conflicted. I mean, I was baptized Presbyterian. My mother was raised part-time Protestant, part-time Catholic. I went to Catholic schools for 3 years, middle school and 1 year of high school. We ended up going to church every Sunday with neighbors that were Southern Baptist. My godmother raised me Lutheran when I was with her for holidays and on weekends. And for me, I've learned to be tolerant of so many different religions and so many different faiths, especially, you know, as long those that really believe in God as they had and Jesus Christ and everything. But at the same time, I turn around and I look at incidences like what happened in Texas. What's his name? Joel Osteen or something. He's one of those big Bible thumping mega churches that he, you know, brings in thousands of people in one sitting, and his church looks like a big, huge circus display. And he is living in a multi-million-dollar mansion, and I'm talking about multi-million-dollar mansion. Mm-hmm. And yet when they had their big disaster there in Texas a couple years back, he was not even going to, in the beginning, he wasn't even going to let any people into his church because he was afraid they would track dirt in or that some of the lowlifes would come into his church. Now, does that sound like a minister that's willing to reach out to the poor or the indigent, or those that are downtrodden, when people in his community were being flooded out, not just poor people or middle-class people, but even the rich were finding that they were losing their homes and losing their livelihoods, he wasn't going to open up his church to any of them. Mm. That, to me, it's like, you know, I remember Tammy and Jim Baker. I mean, he went to prison, remember, for, you know, what he was doing to the taxpayers and to the people that were, that he was getting money from during the TV evangelism. So it really bothers me that today's ministers, more of them are not reaching out and doing community service. And if anybody should be doing community service, it should be the minister saying, look at, we are going to take a stand against tyranny. We're going to stand for people that are standing for the Constitution. And I see too many ministers running with their tails between their legs and not actually being a public servant to the people in their community.
Yeah, it's too bad that they're more worried about their 501c3 than they are about actually doing what God asked them to do.
Right.
You know,
exactly. And if they're going to get there in the pulpit, and they're going to talk about Jesus Christ and his bringing himself down to the level of where he was willing to work among the lepers, and he was willing to heal the blind, and he was willing to go live a life of poverty. And yet these ministers are becoming multimillionaires through their TV evangelism and asking for people to send them more and more money, reaching out to people that they know are vulnerable. To me, it's despicable. Now, in the future, when your children come to you and say, Mom, depending upon what the outcome is, we have some people who have come in the chat room and they've said, let's see, one says, don't stress over it, Sarah. The judge will let you free, but whatever you do, do not get a district attorney. They will take it down to $500 fine, and your attorney will ask for $2,000 and no jail. And the attorneys know your husband. If he's a cop, so do the judges. What you should do is never comply ever. You didn't do anything wrong, Sarah, okay? What you did was right. You took a stand where there are very few people that were obviously in that park that were willing to take a stand with you, including people that you would call your friends. I'm wondering if they had it to do all over again, would they have stepped forward and said, here, arrest me too?
Yeah, you know, people have actually come and told me that. The interesting thing is, no one had gone to the park that day. You know, even though you see it in the media, yes, it was a protest. No one had gone to the park that day to protest. The plan was to be at a play date on the grass. I don't know what happened before there because I can't speak to that. I can just tell you what happened after I got there. But I had friends, you know, here's actually the funny thing. You know, a lot of people were taking video, right? That's the new thing. Anytime anything's happened, you just take video, right? So there's probably 7 different views of what happened within that 10, 15 minute time period. I had a friend send me one where literally one of the officers, not the one that was interacting with me, but one of these other officers was, I think, closer to the grass or maybe even on the grass with the kids, and he's handing out stickers. And that to me, and you can see me in the background, they're arresting me. And that to me was just such a good depiction of really what was right and what was wrong. The officer who was handing out stickers, that's what you should be doing in a playground. You don't bring handcuffs to playground. You bring stickers, okay? And then you can see me in the background. So just that difference there of what was happening. And I've had friends actually later, they said to me, gosh, Sarah, if I had only known. But, you know, I got arrested so quickly and they hauled me off right away. So they, by that point, it was kind of like everyone then followed me to where they were taking me in the car. I will tell you, though, later, and this didn't come out either, but hopefully it'll come out during my court case. They took me to jail, right? Instead of giving me a ticket, they took me to jail, booked me into jail, and they had that playground wrapped back up. And then I don't know if it was parents, but I know people took down the tape again. Okay. They wrapped it up and they were like, whatever. They took down the tape again and people went back out on that, the wood chips and the playground, and they played with their kids. I have pictures of it. I have video of it where they pan out. They show people playing. They pan out and you see 3 police officers not doing a darn thing. So you tell me why that playground was such a big deal 30 minutes prior. They take me away and they're not going to then reinforce what they just enforced. You're not going to now then take those people to jail, or at minimum, give them a ticket. Give them a ticket for trespassing, or give them even a ticket for being in a close park. One of those is a $50 fine. The other is actually the same exact fine that I got of trespassing. So it's just been very interesting. So I think there are people that are like, I wish I could have stood with you that day, and I would have. And it's just not the way things worked out, right? It's not that people didn't. It just, you know, there's moms talking, and then it escalates, and no one is thinking at that point. You know, they didn't have enough officers there then to arrest everybody else. I was the mouthiest one. I was the one that was questioning the most, and I clearly was the ringleader in their mind. But I just was the one who wasn't scared. I just wasn't scared. And at the end of the day, we shouldn't be scared to the point of inaction of not sticking up for our rights. I didn't want to be taken to jail. But you know what I also don't want? I don't want my children being arrested at parks. I don't want my children. I don't want their children being arrested at parks. So at the end of the day, your courage has to be stronger than your fear. And I'm not saying I'm some amazing person, but I just know, you know what scares me worse than that fear? It scares me worse to lose that freedom. That's what scares me. And it scares me. You see all these people who are basically sheep, and they'll just comply with anything. And I'm not going to wait until they put me in a cattle car, Maggie Rose. I'm not going to wait for that point. I'm going to say no before then. So I just want to thank you for having me on your show. I've got to go. My babysitter's got to leave, but tell all of your listeners, thank you for listening. And, stand strong, friends. Stand strong.
Thank you. And you keep a diary. What I recommend you do, Sarah, is I recommend you get a notebook or a diary and you start right now writing down everything you remember, including what you just shared with us about how after they took you away, that those three officers were standing by while everybody was taking the tape down and going back on the playground and back on the wood chips. You need to write these details down now while it's all fresh in your mind. You date it, you timestamp it in that diary right now. I do have one quick question before you go. When they arrested you, did they take you in and try to do a drug cavity search, or did they spare you that?
No, so they didn't do a drug cavity search, but they did try to screen me for COVID-19. So they started asking me questions, and I just kind of giggled and I said, "You guys literally just read me my rights. I'm not going to answer any questions." So then they were irritated with me. They did do a scan. I mean, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, they look at each other like I've got COVID. I'm like, you guys have put me back in a hot car for like an hour. Of course my temperature is going to be hot. I go, and I'm back here sweating bullets. You can't take my temperature after you've heated me up in a car. So anyway, yep. So no cavity searches, but I did get patted down like a true criminal, right? I got patted down, checked to see if I had any things on me. I thought I'm probably literally the most clean person they've ever had in that jail, that they've ever booked in that jail.
Was it a woman that patted you down?
I think it was.
Okay. Well, Grog just wrote here before you go, Americans, you're all under arrest. Don't worry about charges. We will make it up as we go. Just as long as you do what you're told, we will leave you alone till we decide to kill you. No questions asked. Hummingbird said, thank you, Sarah. May God be with you. And Grog said, good luck, Sarah.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you so much. And we're going to have you back again, okay?
Okay, take care.
Okay, thank you, hon.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, folks, that's Sarah Brady, the brave, young, courageous mother who went to a play date at the last minute after she found out the tape had been taken down at the playground, that she went there for the play date. And officers came up and they were telling everybody they had to leave the playground. They had to leave. And she questioned, well, wait a minute, why? We're out in the sun. There's not going to be any virus out here in the hot sun. The children are playing. Everybody's getting along. You've opened up the park. So if you've opened up the park for people to sit around on the grass and visit with each other, why can't the kids be on the playground visiting? And she got arrested for even bothering to speak out and ask the question as like, why can't we? Okay. How dare she ask for validation? How dare she ask for clarification? And then while she's being arrested, the other police officer is off in the background giving out stickers to the children. And then after she's taken off to jail, she finds out that the people that stayed at the park took down the tape again and continue to play, and the children play on the tan bark in the playground while two or three other police officers stood by and did nothing. So there is really an inconsistency here. There's a double standard going on here. And obviously that the people in the Ada courthouse, the county courthouse in Idaho and Boise, are going to have a real big challenge here, because this is what we call selective enforcement. They single somebody out to make an example out of them. Where have we seen this before? We've seen this where it's even cost people their lives. Have we so quickly forgotten people like Bill Cooper or Mr. Schneider, who's exposing what happened during the firefight down in New Mexico? Have we forgotten Robert Lavoie Finnegan so quickly? Robert Lavoie Finnegan. Robert Lavoie Finnegan was speaking out to the American people and even to the world. I only got to meet him one time while he gave a class in the Constitution with the Bundys and with Ryan Payne in the firehouse as a refuge. We all sat around the firehouse in peace and serenity, sitting on the floor, standing by the fire trucks. Nobody was protesting in a violent way. They were teaching us a class in the Constitution, the real Constitution versus the one or two variations of the Constitution they want us now to believe in while they're trying to rewrite history and rewrite the narrative. And I was asking Robert Lavoie Finnegan, well, look, if they're doing this here, what about we have some property, you know, in California? We're up here in Idaho with you right now, taking a stand with you. But we have some property in Northern California that the BLM decided in the 30s or 40s, all of a sudden they were going to maintain and do maintenance over, which they don't do any at all. We have like 20 acres and we have to pay like $145 a year fee for this property that we have that's been in the family way back since the 1840s. You know, it's a gold mine. And so the BLM is going to turn around and say, in order to keep that in your name, you have to pay us on time every August this $145. And it's wrong. They don't allow us to build on the property. We can't any longer, you know, use any of the trees because my father-in-law accidentally forgot to take care of it and he missed it by one day. And so instead of getting some kind of a fine, it was given a brand new number and then told now you can only deal with what's under the ground, no longer what's on top of the ground. So, you know, this kind of tyranny, the BLM does not manage our properties properly. They're too busy out there playing cops and robbers by going after people's ranches. And Robert Lavoie Finnegan, he took a stand by teaching the Constitution on YouTube, by telling people that, you know, you don't have to ask permission to stand up for your rights. You don't have to be put into a little area with a bunch of tape circling you and said, now you can protest in this little roped off area. This is your free speech Second Amendment area. And oh, by the way, we're going to put it way back off the road, away where none of the camera people can see that you're protesting. None of the news media will see that you're protesting. You have to stay in this little fenced in area that's taped off. And this is your Second Amendment free speech area. Well, you know what? My Second Amendment and my free speech area, my First Amendment, my Second Amendment should be wherever I happen to go. And you're not going to tell me that my First Amendment can only be in a roped off place that you designate, that it's out of the way where nobody can see me expressing my First Amendment right. You're not going to lock me away and silence me. How dare you tell me what I have the right to say and not say? I got up on my Facebook today, and Misty Wells, who happens to be up in Oregon, she's part of the 3%ers, she said that Facebook is stating that we cannot say the Lord's Prayer in our Facebook postings. We cannot post our Facebook, social media. We cannot write the Lord's Prayer and post it there on Facebook. Can you imagine that? They say it goes against their policy. So let me find where it is here. Okay, so this is under my Facebook. I have three Facebook pages, but this is my main one. This is the one I do for Revolution Radio. And that Facebook posting is Maggie Rose McGrath. And it's there. I actually posted it under, let's see if I have it right here. I posted it under there and I tried to, well, let's see, it was there. Let's see, here we go. So she had written a comment basically about how Facebook is saying that it goes against their policy to have the Our Father, to have that posted. And it looks like what they've done is they tried to take it down, but I've got it back up here again. My cousin Barbara Myatt has actually given a thumbs up. So let me go ahead and read this to you, okay? Because Misty Wells posted this, I just is reposted on our Facebook. And I wrote, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That is a standard prayer that many Christians use. And I wrote, how can this go against the Facebook policies? Something needs to be done about them. And then I posted in here, I heard of a new social platform called Sphere, S-P-H-I-R. You can find it, folks, at https://www.sphir.io/. Now, I met at that rally, the Liberate America rally, folks. I met the CEO and founder this month in Idaho. And so this is an opportunity for us to break away from Facebook. This is a way we can do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put that in the chat room, exactly what I posted on my Facebook page. And again, folks, I've got a message from Just Dirt. Thank you, Just Dirt. So I'll say it again. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Folks, daily bread, that means knowledge. That's what that is. Daily bread actually means knowledge. Give us this day our daily bread. That doesn't mean the food we're eating. It means the knowledge we're trying to get as we go through life. Give us this day our daily bread, or give us this day our daily knowledge. Forgive us our own trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And do not lead us into temptation. Do not allow us to back down from what we know is right. Don't have us do something that's wrong, because we're feeling by doing this wrong may eventually right things out. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So again, folks, Sphere, I put it up in the chat room, S-P-H-I-R. I think Alyssa is the name of the founder and the owner of Sphere. I don't know how she runs it. It's free, just like Facebook is free. But here is a way to take back your power. Here's the way for you to speak truth to power. Let's see. We also had here in the chat room, I have some people in here that have been writing to me. One of the things I put in my Facebook when it came to the writing going on with these Antifa, they say they're anti-fascist and they become the very fascist that they're protesting against, right? So this was something that someone had in Revolution Radio, and I copied and posted it to my Facebook. It's, you're rioting and looting for George? Well, are you rioting and looting for George Floyd and the murder that was committed upon him? Or are you rioting and looting for George Soros? We all know that George Soros has actually been paying people to do this. to cause bedlam in our cities and our urban areas. As President Trump said, and I quote, "The future does not belong to the globalist. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations." I'm going to say that once again, quote, "The future does not belong to the globalist. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations," President Trump. Another cute little cartoon. You remember the Wile E. Coyote going after the Roadrunner? Well, the cartoon says, and it's got the coyote with a pair of binoculars, "Watching the left come up with endless schemes to impeach Trump has become like watching Wile E. Coyote trying to catch the Roadrunner. Now remember, folks, and I said this before, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes duty. You are duty bound to take a stand like Robert Lavoie Finnegan did and Sarah Brady. Now, unfortunately, when Robert Lavoie Finnegan was teaching about the Constitution and talking about land rights, you know, the Hammonds ended up since the 1990s, the father was teaching about land rights. And they had to find some way to shut him up, and they wanted his ranch. They had already pushed out almost all the ranchers in Utah and almost all the ranchers in Arizona. And now they were going after the ranchers in Oregon. So he ended up going to jail for something actually the BLM themselves was doing. He did a backburn to protect his property, and it got away. So they threw him in jail. They didn't even get their hands slapped. They just got promoted and transferred. Robert Lavoie Finnegan teaching us the Constitution, speaking out against tyranny. So you have a Governor Kate Brown of Oregon that says we have to stop that virus, which means he's educating the people. We have to stop that virus from spreading from county to county in my state of Oregon. I hate to tell you, Kate Brown, but the Oregon doesn't belong to you. You are a public servant and not a very good one. You're a traitor to your state. You're a traitor to the people that have been paying for your salary. You've been running Oregon like a tyrannical dictator, just like California, just like parts of New York. When tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes a duty. And that's why we have the Northern Idaho Militia, the California Militia, the Oregon Militia, the Washington State Militia. That's why we had the Oath Keepers years ago. Unfortunately, the founder himself saw the green money that was coming in from memberships, and he left the reservation. And he basically ruined much of that organization for many people. You've got the 3%ers in many of the different states who are there to educate, inspire, motivate, teach training, teach prepping, teach preparing people for what could come, either a natural disaster or a man-made one, made by the deep state, by the New World Order. Again, when tyranny becomes law, rebellion becomes a duty. You need to take a stand, as Sarah Brady said today. We are duty-bound to say no. We are duty-bound to say we're not going to take it anymore. There's a group that was publicizing a while back, and they asked, "Are you frustrated by illegals and anti-Americans tearing us apart while politicians make us provide for their families? Are you sick of the GOP and the Democrat machines that are sabotaging the president that we elected? Are you angry that politicians get richer as we get poorer? There is a solution, folks. The national conference call is every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time. Again, a national conference call is every Sunday, 8 p.m. Central Time. Dial 712-775-7031. Again, that number is 712-775-7031. And the access code is 123-277-344 pound. That's 123-277-344 pound. And they are called Tactical Civics. Again, Tactical Civics. You tell them that Revolution Radio and Maggie Rose, the Conquered Show, sent you. Tactical Civics is a national alliance of 3% of the United Patriots in America Again Trust. Tactical Civics is more than a militia. It is a new way of life. Again, tacticalcivics.us. Again, tacticalcivics.us. And you can find it by going to www.tacticalcivics.us. Again, it is more than a militia. It is a way of life. And once again, the national conference call is every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Time by dialing 712-775-7031. That's 712-775-7031. Access code 123-277-344 and the pound sign in order to be able to access and join the call. Remember, folks, the very reason for the First Amendment is to make the people of this country free to think, speak, write, and worship as they wish, not as the commands of the government, and not as the government commands us to do. If you want to friend me, you can friend me at go to my website, theconqueredshow.com. Again, www.theconqueredshow.com. Right now, my homepage has been frozen. I have to get in there and change some dates and some things around. But you can friend me on Facebook at Maggie Rose McGrath. So go to my website of www.theconqueredshow.com or friend me at Maggie Rose McGrath. That was the maiden name of my great grandmother. Maggie Rose McGrath, MCGRATH. And you can find me there and I will friend you back. We have quite a few people in there that you probably know. We have Jack Edwards. We have Sarah Brady, who was just on our show. We have Rochelle Emery. She was one of the sponsors of the Liberate America, along with Redoubt News and others. It was really a wonderful gathering that we all had when I was there the other day. Debbie Westlake and Sarah Walden Bradley have both gone up on my Facebook and they have friended me there. We're going to have a lot more going on. They're planning to have another a rally in Coeur d'Alene next year. And again, we want to thank Sherry Duvall and Rachel and David Emery. They're part of Health Freedom Idaho. And Rochelle has been very involved with the Health Freedom Idaho, which is one of the sponsors of the rally that we went to. There was quite a few people there. We were very, very privileged to have as a guest speaker Tom DeWeese. We had Ammon Bundy there. We had Representative Heather Scott of Idaho. We had Joey Gibson, who's of the Patriot Prayer. We had Greg Pruitt of the Second Amendment Alliance. We had John Jacob Schmidt. We had Diogo Rodriguez. We also had Jacqueline Gallion, Robert Chase, Renee Holiday of Lady Liberty of Liberty State. We had a Liberate America auction. Some of that money is going to be going to help Jeanette Finnegan with her lawsuit against the government for the wrongful death of her husband, Robert Lavoie Finnegan. The Liberate America auction was very successful. And again, some of that money is going to be going to help Jeanette Finnegan with her lawsuit against the government. We had music put on by the Midnight Ride. We also had music put on by Rusty Jackson. Along with our guest speakers, we had Representative Matt Shea of Washington State. We had Pastor Afshin Yogdantin, who's of Saved a Magazine. We had Scott Herodon. We had Ingra Cassell of the Immunize Wisely. Then we had music by Brother Music. We had a guest speaker, Cornell Razor. A guest speaker, Chris Brumbles. He's been on this show before. He's up in Columbia County, Oregon. He's involved with the Three Percenters. He was a former Oath Keeper. He's a military veteran. and he's the coordinator of the Oregon Firearms Federation in Oregon State. We also had guest speakers, Representative Teresa Manzella of Montana, as well as myself as a guest speaker. So it was really a full day. People came out and they braved the cold weather, the rain, the very cold wind, 44 to 46 degrees. And yet people continue to come. People continue to stay. People visited the vendors. They supported the speakers and what they had to say. And they're asking for another rally again, which probably next year will also be held at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds. That's at 4056 North Government Way in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And I'm really hoping that next year they're going to be able to do this again. It was a wonderful, wonderful Liberate America rally on Saturday, the June the 13th. And of course, because of the governor of Idaho, we weren't allowed to hold it indoors. He made us all be out braving the cold and the weather. And it just shows what the patriots were willing to do by standing there and saying, okay, we're going to stand our ground and we're going to listen to these guest speakers and we're going to take away the knowledge. Many of them had their children there, their babies there. And it was just a very sacred, awe-inspiring day. And I felt just so privileged to be there and meeting people like Sarah Bradley, who is taking a stand for what she believes is right, folks. So again, I hope that, you know, you're going to stay here with the Revolution Radio. We're going to be having Willow coming up here in just a few moments with Willow Anderson is with Willow's World. She's going to be here in Studio A following me. We're going to have Mona in Studio B at the same time, and that's from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern. We're almost at that time right now. I again would like to ask you please to donate to Revolution Radio to help keep us going strong so we can continue to take care of our expenditures. Know that for $25 a month, you can actually advertise on the banner on the front homepage of Revolution Radio. That's at www.freedomslips.com. We have a monthly goal of $2,000 a month to be able to help pay for our operating expenses. And right now we've raised $1,315.54. So we again thank you very, very much for that. For those of you that want to listen to Willow's World, you can dial in with your landline or cell phone to 206-629-0182 and listen to the show that way. The Studio B is 641-793-7038. That changes a lot. Sometimes when you call the number, TalkStream Live is the one that coordinates that, and they'll give you a new number that you can call. I want to share with you before the end of the show, I'm reading a new book right now. This book was written by, excuse me, Mary C. Neal, N-E-A-L, M-D. She was an orthopedic doctor, a medical doctor of many different disciplines, but orthopedics was her specialty. This was the number one New York Times bestseller, and it's a true story. It's called To Heaven and Back, a doctor's extraordinary account of her death, heaven, angels, and then life again. So I've been reading this book and finding it very fascinating. It says Mary C. Neal, N-E-A-L-M-D, is an orthopedic surgeon who studied at the University of California at Los Angeles School of Medicine, completed her orthopedic residency at University of Southern California, and is a fellowship trained as a spinal surgeon. She is the former director of spine surgery at the University of Southern California and is the founding partner of Orthopedic Associates of Jackson Hole. Her afterlife experience has been featured on national media, including OW of WGN, Dr. Oz, and Fox and Friends. She has served as a church elder on several nonprofit organization boards, and she created the Willie Neal Environmental Awareness Fund. Dr. Neal lives with her family in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. She had a kayak accident, folks, during a South American adventure, and she died for a very short period of time. She went to heaven, she says, where she experienced God's peace, joy, and angels, and then back to life again. In 1999, in the Los Regis region of southern Chile, this orthopedic surgeon, devoted wife, and loving mother, Dr. Mary Neal, drowned in a kayak accident while cascading down a waterfall. Her kayak became pinned at the bottom, and she was immediately and completely submerged. Despite the rescue efforts of her companions, Mary was underwater for too long and as a result died. To Heaven and Back is her remarkable story of her life's spiritual journey and what happened as she moved from life to death to eternal life and back again. Derailing her feelings and surroundings in heaven, her communication with angels, and her deep sense of sadness when she realized it wasn't her time. Mary shares the captivating experience of her modern-day miracle. Her life was forever changed by her newfound understanding of her purpose on earth, her awareness of God, her closer relationship with Jesus, and her own personal spiritual journey was suddenly enhanced by a firsthand experience to heaven. To Heaven and Back will reacquaint you with the hope, the wonder, and the promise of heaven while enriching your own faith and your walk with God. And again, her name is Dr. Mary C. Like and Charlie Neal, N-E-A-L, M-D. So that's just the book that I happen to be reading here. So just want to let you guys all know how grateful I am to all of you. And I want to thank Hummingbird and Wild Bob and Grog and Stardust Man and so many of the others who are in the chat room. This is Maggie Rose. This is The Conquered Show here on Revolution Radio. I will be back on Wednesday evening from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. in the morning Eastern Standard Time. That's 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. The Conquered Show, again, will be in Studio B. And you all have a very blessed rest of the week. Until later, God bless you all.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom?
The future is uncertain. I know this. Death is inevitable. I know this. But one thing is certain. As free men, it is our right to live unencumbered and in peace. And those times are quickly drawing to an end. And in these times, peace is certainly an illusion. And as the chains grow tighter, our ability to slip those chains increase incrementally with every passing moment. Inaction is no longer an option. It's time to raise our voices like a cacophony of thunder and lightning, and tell the masters no more. And this is Nighthawk, and I say, for myself, no more. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, because the freedom is slipping away.
In turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard, you've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh.